It's good to be back again with you. And it's tempting to look at all these readings and try to explain them all. And so Bishop Patrick has advised us not to do that. So I'll save the story of Jacob till next Sunday. And so do come back if you are able to. And so I'll go with the more familiar parable that we just heard from the gospel reading today. Jesus compares the kingdom of God to a sower going out and spreading the seeds. Some of it falls on hard grounds and is unable to take root and got chewed up by the birds. Some of it falls on shallow ground, and although it initially sprouts, it later withers away. But some seed falls upon good earth, comes to fruition, and producing a good harvest. Now, some theologians believe that each parables have one single point to make. So in this case, what will it be? Well, for most interpretation, it is first and foremost a parable about growth. Seeds are sown liberally and generously. When the kingdom of God will grow against all odds. Now, for an urban concrete jungle dweller, I know not much about seeds. Because whatever plants I have, they're usually grown already from the seeds. And I have purchased them from other places. So I do not have first-hand, even gardening experience, of seeing the magical transformation of a growing seed. However, those who listened to Jesus' parable of the sower knew full well from their farming experience what he was saying. However, is it about seeds or about the soil? Well, let's find out. Then in the gospel passage, we are provided with an allegorical interpretation of the parable. That means, you know, each of the symbols, each of the person or the seeds will be represented by something else. So in this case, Jesus said that the sower is God and the seed is the kingdom. And the various types of soil represent us. It represents you and me. On the surface, of course, it doesn't sound as though God is a very frugal farmer. After all, most of the seeds that are strewn about never takes roots. On one level, it is a story about the different types of soil, or as it is interpreted, the responses of different types of people to the kingdom of God. Now, we preachers like to say this: the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. So if the soil, if our soul were to be interpreted as the human heart, then we have a problem, because the human heart is a fickle entity. Well, according to one commentator, it categorizes the four different responses to the four conditions of the heart this way. We have the hardened heart, the distracted heart, the defeated heart, and in the end, the joyful and hopeful heart. Yes, you and I can easily get distracted or sidetracked, but at different stages of our life, we may not be as receptive or responsive to God's word or to the seed being sown. Now, but the interpretation also raises some troubling questions. For instance, who then qualifies as good soil? Since soil cannot change itself, is there any hope for the hardened, rocky, or thorny soil? Or are these destined to be unproductive and lost forever? In the movie, some of you probably have not even heard of, is called Silence. Silence is based on a novel by a Japanese author, Susaku Endu. I happen to have read the Chinese translation of the book as a teenager in the early 70s. In that movie and the novel, the Japanese told a Jesuit missionary in the 17th century that nothing will grow in the swamp of Japan, arguing that Christianity will never take root in their country. Now, the severe persecution did not stop Christian faith in Japan at all. In fact, there are still Christians in Japan these days. Perhaps the seeds were sown by the blood of the martyrs. However, it was certainly difficult to watch other Christians being tortured and killed as the priests were forced to renounce their God. Along the same vein, we have this Mexican proverb. It says, "They tried to bury us, but they did not know we were seeds." So after all, Jesus also encountered hostility, oppositions, and rejection throughout his ministry. Even his own disciples, his own followers, often failed to understand him or seem incapable of comprehension. They might be included among those who have fallen away when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word. For example, they deserted Jesus quickly to save their own skin on the night of Jesus' arrest. So no wonder this parable speaks of only 1 in 4 as the odds of success. 1 in 4 is not a good odds if you're a gambler. But then what is truly remarkable is that in spite of their failings, Jesus does not give up on his disciples. In fact, he continues to invest in them, even entrusting the future of his mission to them. So this should prove encouraging to all of us. So what about the good soil? Who are the ones who hear the word and understand it, and who indeed bear fruit and yield an abundant harvest? In Matthew's story, it seems that they are the least likely people, because Jesus tells the chief priests and the elders, quote, "The tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you." Certainly, Jesus squandered his time with all kinds of outcasts and sinners, with lepers and the demon possessed. Yet he promises that his extravagant sowing of the seed will produce an abundant harvest against the odds, as it would seem. Now, commentators disagree as to whether whether is the sower. Yet it is important to note that the sower scatter his seeds carelessly, recklessly, and seemingly wasting much of the seeds on the ground that holds little promise for a fruitful harvest. And that is, in a way, exactly how Jesus invests his time and energy on the lost cause, including his inadequate followers. Perhaps to our surprise, Christ is also investing in us, in you and me. Because without giving up easily, we may even have a hardened, distracted, or defeated heart. Indeed, this is good news proclaimed. It is hopeful and reassuring. We may as well have a joyful and a hopeful heart in response. So, if God is the generous and prodigal sower, should we also not be the same? To be missional, we should not confine ourselves to playing it safe, sowing the seeds only where we are confident that they will be well received, and only with where those who receive it are likely to become contributing members of the congregations. And too often we only think of evangelism as getting bums in the seats, as people used to say, or dollars on the offering plate. The sower in Jesus' parable is certainly not as discriminating in his investment. He challenges us to take risks for the kingdom and be open to surprises. So seeds actually represent hope. When seeds of faith are sown, we entrust them to God and pray for fruitfulness. Now, often we speak of the fruit of the Spirit, and you should know, maybe if you have memorized your scriptures, we are reminded that fruit comes ultimately also from seeds. As conventional proverb reminds us, you reap what you sow. And we seldom think of seeds of the Spirit that way. But in the letter to the Romans we heard earlier on, Paul makes the distinction between the Spirit and the flesh in his theology. So there are two principles at work, two antithetical forces, flesh and spirit. One leads to death, and the other leads to life. So as this slide says, if you have two dogs in your backyard, the flesh dog and the spirit dog, which one would you choose to feed? And that makes a difference. And similarly, the next slide said, your mind is a garden. Your thoughts are the seeds. You can grow flowers or you can grow weeds. That's a choice we make too. And another quote for your reflection. Just want to make sure. Okay, I'm one behind. This is the garden one. And this one now is said, just as the seed sprouts to become something greater, so we change from the inside out when we choose to believe and follow the influence of the Holy Spirit. Well, I believe that the fact that you are here worshiping God today is proof that seeds of new life have been sown in your hearts at one time or another, maybe even a long time ago, or maybe more recently. You have responded to the good news of Jesus Christ in one way or another. Those seeds are within you, even if it's hidden to the world. So this good old familiar parable challenges us to consider how we can be a good sower of the seeds of hope, the seeds of faith, and the seeds of the Spirit. How do we do that along this stretch of Yonge Street? How do we do that within our own spheres of influence in our personal life? Well, let's end with a couple more of a reflection. This slide says, if you want to win heart, sow seeds of love. If you want heaven, stop scattering thorns along the road. So our job is to sow the sowing seed, not to worry about the soil, for we cannot control other people's responses. And the next one is, God uses broken things beautifully. It says, broken clouds pour rain. Broken soil sets as fields. Broken crop yields seeds, and broken seeds give life to all new plants. So when you feel you are broken, something's wrong with you, or you're troubled, be assured that God is planning to utilize you for something great. Well, Jesus reminds us that unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it will not be able to bear much fruit. We are invited to be generous sowers of seeds of love and be willing to be broken seeds so that others may have life and also have it abundantly in Christ. Thanks be to God.
Amen.